In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
He is and always shall be.
So, who do you think should take the collection today? That's the Christian way.
I volunteer you.
Job? Okay. When was the last time you took the collection? No? Okay, so then Anna, I know that you took the collection about 2-3 Sundays ago. So, Job and Anna. This gospel was again a parable. Do you remember what a parable is?
It's like you kind of like explain what people do, like you make a story. You kind of like explain like what people do. Like Jesus made a parable, and it's like you'll.
So is a parable.
Be like, you will like deserve this if you do this.
Is a parable a real story or a made up story? It's a made-up story. Like, you know, we heard the Lord very clearly saying in the beginning of today's gospel, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. So it's not a real situation, but he made up a story, the Lord made up a story so that the people would understand how the second coming of the Lord will be, how the kingdom of heaven will be like. And what was today's parable about? You remember? What do you think that the topic, the theme of today's parable was?
Forgive.
To forgive. Very good. Very good, Yabisara. Forgiveness, or to forgive, is the topic of today's parable. And who was the first character in the parable?
Jesus.
Who was the first character in the parable, in the story? The first one, the very first one. A king who wanted to settle account with his servants. He called everybody to see how much everybody owed him. Maybe he needed money for a war, or God knows for what he needed money. So he thought, you know, it is time to settle account with my servants, to see what they owe me, because I have to go to war and I need money for going to war. So he called one of his servants, and how much was he owing him? 10,000 what? You remember? 10,000 talents. That's a huge amount. In today's money, it would be a few million dollars. A huge amount. And there was no way that man could pay that money. And what did he do? What did he do? What did he do?
He asked
the king to do what? To have patience. He didn't ask the king to forgive him the debt. He asked for what? For patience, so that he would have time to pay everything. Now, let me tell you something. He couldn't have paid that amount of money. It was way too much. In a lifetime, he couldn't have paid, you know, that amount of money, because it was too much. So, probably the king realized, you know, you're not going to be able to pay it anyway. So, what did the king do? No. What did the king do the first time? When the servant said, you know, be patient with me and I will pay you everything. What did he do? What did he tell him? What did the king do when the servant asked him to give him more time to pay the debt? What did the king do? You didn't pay attention today. I told you so many times. We say, let us be attentive before the gospel reading. And I try to read the gospel nice and slowly. I don't chant it. I just read it nice and slowly so that you could get a message. It is a very important message. So, the king forgave the debt of that servant. Altogether. You are forgiven. I don't need your money anymore. You are free. So, then what happened?
I predict that the conclusion was that they still gave him money. I predict that the servant still gave the king the money.
No, he didn't, because what happened in the end? He went out, and who did he run into? Who did the servant run into when he went out from the king? He ran into another servant that was owing him how much? So the first servant ran into another servant who happened to own this first servant some money. How much? Do you remember? 100 denarii. Do you know how much 100 denarii was? They said that in those times, a laborer would be paid about 1 denarii a day. So 100 denarii would be the payment for about 100 days, a bit more than 3 months. 10,000 talents would be the payment for more than a lifetime. 100 denarii would be the payment for about 3 months. It was an amount. Not a huge amount, but still a considerable amount. And what did the first servant do to this other servant who was owing him money? What did he do? What did he tell him? Oh, I've been forgiven of my debt. I remember that you owe me some money. I'm going to forgive you. Is that what he said? But what did he say? Give me the money. He grabbed him by the throat. Give me the money that you owe me. Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. No, I'm going to throw you in jail. So he threw him in jail. And when the king heard about this, what did he do to the first servant?
He elaborated it.
He put him in jail too. Couldn't you be forgiving towards your fellow servant as I was forgiving towards you when you asked me to forgive, you know, to give you more time? So, the topic obviously is forgiveness. Now, as we could see, the first servant asked for forgiveness. He asked for more time, and he received forgiveness of his entire debt. The second servant asked for more time, but he didn't receive forgiveness. Now, so many times, you know, it happens that the people around us hurt us or wrong us, and they ask for forgiveness. Did that happen to you? Did you forgive?
Yeah.
Always?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. Even if people ask for forgiveness. What do you think it is hard to forgive even when people ask for forgiveness? If they hurt you really hard, it's hard to forgive, huh? You are still in pain. That's why it is hard to forgive sometimes, even when people ask for forgiveness. But, let me ask you something else. Did it ever happen to you to hurt somebody and to ask for forgiveness?
Yeah.
And how did you feel when they refused to forgive you?
Sad.
Why can't you forgive me? I'm really sorry, and I ask for forgiveness. Why can't you forgive me?
Maybe they don't trust you.
Maybe they don't trust you anymore, and you have to regain their trust. Anyway, it is very important to know that as we want our other people to forgive us, when we ask for forgiveness, we should try. We should really try to forgive them when they ask us to forgive them. Because guess what? Are we perfect?
No.
Do you want to be forgiven when you sin against God?
Yes.
Do you want to be forgiven? Do you think that you have some things that you would like to be forgiven in your life, to be wiped off? Do you feel sorry for some things that you did and that you know that you would like to be forgiven for?
Yeah.
Yes? It is a chance. Every time, do you copy? This is important. Every time somebody asks us for forgiveness, it is a great chance for us to have some of our sins forgiven. Because the Lord said that if we forgive our brothers and sisters, if we forgive the people around us, He will forgive us. So take it as a chance. Think about it as, wow, I have the chance now to have some of my sins forgiven if I have the strength to forgive the one who hurt me. And then everything becomes a lot easier. Because we understand that it is a great chance to be forgiven ourselves. So let us try. Let us try. Especially, you know, when we hear somebody, forgive me, to be like a red flag. Oh, he or she asked for forgiveness. I should really do my best to forgive as soon as possible. Because if I do that, God will forgive me too. And maybe I'll have the chance when I ask for forgiveness to be forgiven. Okay? And please be attentive. Be attentive because it is important for you. This is the time when we have the word. The first part of the liturgy is called the liturgy of the word. Because the word of God is preached to us. The word of God is read to us from the epistle, from the gospel, and then it is preached to us. So let us be attentive. Thank you very much. Christ is among us. This gospel this parable was generated by Peter's question, who asked the Lord, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? This was a big debate among the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How many times you should forgive your brother or sister if he or she sinned against you? And they even had, you know, a specific number, and they were counting. They were counting how many times this person sinned against me, and it is the 6th time. I have only one more. Only one more to forgive. And then I could not forgive this person anymore. I'll be freed from the duty of forgiving this person. That's why Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how many times? Up to 7 times? And the Lord said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Do the math. 490. In fact, it's not 490. Don't start counting. In fact, it is endlessly. 7 in the Bible stands for the complete number. The 7 days of creation. The complete number. 70 times 7 is endlessly. Until peace and love and joy is achieved. Until then, you have to forgive. Until the fulfillment of the creation of God. And then the Lord gave this parable. Now in the parable, both servants asked for patience and forgiveness, and they were given this forgiveness. And in the Gospel of Luke, The Lord says in chapter 17, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. So we have these situations, like in this gospel, or in this passage from the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, when the Lord speaks about sinning, and the one who sinned against us comes to us, asks for forgiveness, and the Lord says that especially if he or she asks for forgiveness, we should forgive. 7 times a day. 7 times 7. But sometimes it happens that those who wrong us, those who sin against us, don't want to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes they don't even realize what they are doing. I remember one day I received a phone call from a nurse from the hospital. This nurse was a member of my parish, and I knew that a man from my parish was supposed to have one of those, you know, day surgeries, a simple procedure. He was supposed to be in and out of the hospital. And that day, I prayed for him, and I received a phone call from this nurse. Father, please come to the hospital because the procedure went wrong for cancer. I rushed to the hospital, and I went to his room, and Konstantin was his name, was in pain, but he smiled as much as he could, even if he was in pain, and asked him, Khan, what happened? The nurse told me what happened. The doctor perforated one of his organs doing the procedure. He made a mistake. So when I get into the room, I ask him, Khan, what happened? I'm really sorry that this happened to you. And he smiles to me and he tells me, Father, this doctor does this procedure every day, a few times a day. It is normal to make a mistake once in a while. And it happened that he made a mistake on me. I said, glory to God. What a wonderful attitude. But this man, by the grace of God, was connected with God. By the grace of God, this man really had the love and the peace of God in his heart. Even if the doctor didn't get a chance yet to apologize to him, he had already forgiven him. Because he knew that it is impossible not to make mistakes when you do the same procedure every day. Now the same thing happened to the Lord on the cross. When he was crucified, he was praying for those who were crucifying him because he realized that they didn't know what they were doing. In the same way, Stephen, one of the first deacons of the church, when he was being stoned, he was praying for those who were stoning him. And he was praying for them, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But Stephen and the Lord and Khan had the strength to do this because they were really connected with God. It is said in the Acts of the Apostles that before Stephen prayed for the ones who were killing him, who were stoning him to death, he looked up and he said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was really connected with God and he was seeing God, and then he had the strength to pray for those who were stoning him to death. And I'm telling you, it is not easy to try to forgive somebody who wronged you, who sinned against you, who hurt you, physically, emotionally, spiritually. who hurt you and doesn't even realize what he or she did or is doing and has no intention whatsoever of asking for forgiveness. It is a challenge. I told the children to try to forgive when people ask them for forgiveness. The next level would be to forgive even when people don't ask us to forgive them. That would be the next level. And as I told you, it is not easy. When that happens, we are crucified. We are like the Lord on the cross. We are on the surgery table and God is doing surgery on us. And He's working out our salvation and the salvation of the world around us. And the only way to go through something like that is to be connected with God. To pray and to offer ourselves to the Lord and to see God and to say, Lord, as you had the strength to forgive those who crucified you, even if they had no intention of asking for forgiveness, give me the strength to forgive the people who are hurting me and they don't want to ask for forgiveness. Give me the strength that you gave to Stephen to forgive those who stoned him to death, because, Lord, I want to be one with you. Don't allow them, after hurting me, to also take away my peace. Because that's what's happening. When people hurt us, when people wrong us, our peace is disturbed. If we connect ourselves with God, and if we stay connected with God and He gives us the strength and we offer ourselves to Him, we work together with Him to forgive, we keep at least the peace of God within us. We might have been wrong. We might have been hurt. Things might have been taken away from us. You name it. We suffered a loss. A material, physical, emotional, spiritual loss. You name it. We had already suffered a loss. Let's not allow the devil to inflict a much bigger loss on us by allowing the devil to take away the peace of God from our hearts. Let us stay connected with God and be like Him. The goal of our human existence is to be transformed into the likeness of God. The Son of Man said, our Lord Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man will be lifted up, then you will know that I am. Lifted up. When He was lifted up on the cross, then He revealed His divinity. He revealed the ineffable name of God, I am. Then you'll know that I am. He revealed His divinity on the cross. And when we are crucified, when we are wronged, and the people who wronged us don't want to ask for forgiveness, then we have the chance to be like God and to be transformed. It is a challenge. It is an opportunity given to us by God, so that we could become more and more like Him. And I will end with a beautiful quote from Mark Twain, who used to say that forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the hill that has crushed it. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.